Kaya Talk on Kaya 959.
On the street, on the air. Point of View,
Monday to Thursday, 8 to 10 p.m.
So that's how we introduce Ufenze Pitse, who is the first black South African woman to own and conduct an all-black orchestra, who's on the line with us. Ufenze, thank you so much for your time. Good evening.
Good evening, Kamala. Thank you so much for having me.
So tell us about that particular arrangement we just played.
Okay, so that is Incomparable, King Tut, so that arrangement, we were just experimenting with four of the female vocalists in the choir, because we wanted to just sort of like branch out of the classical, only been a classically trained, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to just branch out a bit out of the classical world and to just experiment with a different sound.
Mm.
So that's when we chose to sort of like look at how we would interpret that song by Tennyson Ezra. So that's what came out of it. And Oyama actually is the person who mixed the song.
Mm.
So I think it came out quite nice. It was just one take, actually.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal for me because your track record speaks for itself. You have worked with really big artists. In other words, people who've been established for a long time. Here you are, what I think, I don't know if you're already 28 yet, but I look at your stature and you're quite small. You're petite.
Thank you.
A woman. You're black.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder about the challenges that you face when it comes to talking to these big musicians about, you know, give me a chance. Can I perhaps arrange your music? Can I conduct you?
Mm. Far beyond that, it's also realizing that as soon as I came into the musical space, I realized that there is no time for me to be comfortable. I knew what was at stake, and I also knew that there's going to be a lot of people checking me. So besides me looking small and petite and being female, there's also that thing of, does she know what she's doing?
Mm-hmm.
So with that, had to come another layer of making sure that I learn far more than what I thought was enough.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the having to now find the best conductor in Africa to be my mentor, and to make sure that I learn from that so that I can prepare for whatever. And speaking to the, you know, I feel like I haven't really started in terms of my career, but with the few musicians that I have touched base with and just discussed or just spoke about my vision of using their songs or their music or even working with them, it just really came from my boldness.
Mm.
Because sometimes I just think after that, I'm just like, did I just have that conversation?
Mm.
So I really just believe and think it's me being bold that has got me this far without, because I feel like my track record hasn't really gotten to where it needs to get, but because I feel also that, you know, before I shine, I have to polish. So it will get there, though. So I would say boldness, really, and resilience is what would get me to, or is what has got me here.
I mean, you speak of the fact that you weren't classically trained. You come from a church, Salvation Army, which is where you got your first experience with an instrument. But beyond that, it's just your love for music and your own development. So where then does that come from, the chutzpah, to be able to say, I can stand shoulder to shoulder with the greatest and I can still have the confidence to lead because you lead orchestras?
Yeah, that comes from when I decided to study architecture. I had no idea that I would have to be defending my ideas on a constant basis. So I mean, at Wits, literally 3 times a week, I had to stand in front of lecturers, tutors, and even my peers and defend why I'm designing this way, you know, defend why is my entrance here instead of at the back. So because of that, and doing that as often as I did, I got into realizing that I will constantly have to defend the things that I believe in. So because of that, my wiring got to a point of knowing that if I believe in it, I cannot back down no matter how long it will take. So that's really where it came from. I would say that because of having to defend certain ideas in terms of, you know, my architectural education, it really fell into the music, and that's what gave me the confidence to know that, hang on, if I believe in this, then I'm not going to back down. Because also with architecture, it's a very male-dominated industry where they're looking at you and they'll ask you questions that have nothing to even do about the project that you're doing, but it's like they want to check if you know what you're doing. So I think the training really started in another form, which is in the architecture. So by the time I got into music, it was just like, okay, the door was sort of like open. I wasn't timid or scared.
So talk to me about that day when you sat together and put together a group of six brass players, and you decided, okay, let's try this thing. Where did the inspiration come from, and what were you hoping to achieve?
Well, the inspiration came from, I would say, the inception rather of the choir itself, Anchor Sound. I mean, it started with just me, you know, speaking to a group of the vocalists, and I was like, hey guys, how about we meet at church on one Saturday? I will call my friend Yonela, who's a pianist, and then let's just have a jam session, right? And then what I would do, or what I do often in rehearsal, is that I would sit at the back and then just close my eyes. So I would sit at the back with, you know, with my head in my hands, and I would just listen to way beyond what's happening in the sound, and I would just sort of like transcend and immerse myself in what's happening. And I would, in that manner, sort of envision what to add on to that. So after hearing the vocalist and how they merged together, I was like, hang on, I think the trumpet would sound really great on this. And then I just spoke to my friends, and I was like, hey, do you want to just come on Saturday? I'm going to have a rehearsal with the choir, and just bring your instrument. So it was like, okay, Ntwana, I'll come through. And then, you know, the trumpeter came through, and then he was like, actually, let me call my friend who plays the trombone. And then the trombonist came. So it really was like, guys, it started as a jam session, and then I sit at the back, and then I close my eyes, and I was just like, hold on, this sounds beautiful, but I think we need to add another layer, like a softer sound to it. So I was like, does anyone know someone who plays the violin? And then someone was like, yeah, my boy, whatever, my 15, you know, yeah, he plays the violin. I was like, okay, tell him to come. My day is the next week. And then that's really how it was almost like I was putting building blocks together. And before I knew it, when the first time it was like now people were calling their friends who could play, and then now there's 19 of them. And then I was like, okay, offense, and now what do we commit to? I was like, no offense, Emma Khanyani, like, okay, the ambition is good, but hey, but what about 19? And it says one of you, you know, and I was just like, okay, what are we going to do? So that's when I first got scared of, like, you know, my mouth preceding my ability. So I was just like, okay, now I have to do something about this. And that's when I was like, okay, now I need to learn how conducting really works, far beyond what I saw with the bandmaster at church.
My guest is Ofenze Pitse, who is only 27, 28. She hasn't actually given us the number. It doesn't matter, actually. She's just under 30. She is a first woman black conductor in South Africa. She's also, she owns her own black orchestra composed of a lot of really interesting young musicians as well. So I want to talk to her also about some of the work that she does in the communities. I'd love to hear from you. If you want to speak to her, you're also welcome to give us a call, 086-000-0059. All right. So my guest this evening is Ofenze Pitse, who owns an orchestra, who is a conductor as well. She says she's a dreamer. She's also got another day job. She's an architect as well. So what were we listening to, Ofenze?
So the song you just played is On the Low, Burna Boy. So we did like a rendition of that to say that imagine if the song was more of a vocal than less of a, you know, like a fast-paced song. Mm-hmm. So that is, again, like just a reimagining, a redoing of a millennial song. So that's the famous Burna Boy song. Mm.
You know, you speak of the challenges that you have and face with being able to be confident in the work that you do, because you say there is no room for you to fail. There is no room for you to make mistakes. You speak of, people who've been there before your time, who are all over the world, who call you and say, what do you think you're doing? You know, how brave are you? We failed at this. How does this impact on your confidence?
With regards to confidence, it's something that I constantly have to work on. So in as much as, I can speak about how resilient I've been, but there are days where I just don't want to leave the house because I don't think that I'm good enough, right? Mm-hmm. And then there are days that after, you know, taking that 2-hour nap, after feeling like I'm not good enough, I'm like, okay, I need to analyze the score. Or I have a session with her and my conducting coach and mentor. So I really have a lot of those days, even though I sound very confident and I sound like I'm ready to arrive. But for me, it's also studying the people who have been there before me and learning from them. Because like you're saying, these people that would follow me on Instagram, and these are conductors of, you know, orchestras from your different various countries, all and all that. And I'm just like, how are you saying congratulations to me when, you know, you are like the guest conductor of this orchestra? And then they're like, there's just something about you that's quite unique. It's almost like you're so self-assertive. And I would say that really is what kind of sets me apart beyond just understanding the music. So I really think that's the unique touch that Ofenza has. The fact that I can be in a space and be like, okay, let's get it, you know. So because of that, it's really what sets me apart.
And so
without any formal training.
And so the commitment, Ofenza, because you have also taken under your wing young people who really come from difficult backgrounds, where you've had to fund their transport, for instance, to come to rehearsals. You've had to fund, their passion by offering them other things as well.
Yeah.
I mean, how difficult is that? And I ask that question knowing that it is tough. And I'm wondering, where does that commitment come from?
I mean, it's extremely tough, because even with that commitment, like, there's certain commitments that you can't really talk about and say that, you know, guys, it was tough. I almost was not able to raise the money that you guys need for taxi fare or whatever. So it also comes from, my mom was always a person who would say that, you know, at a plan will be made, you know, she would, and that's how she raised me. There were times where I did not know how we were going to pay for school fees or how I was going to get to school tomorrow. And then she'd be like, you know what, okay, the God will provide. And then she would just leave and be like, you know what, I'm going to make a plan. She would just go. And then by the time she comes back, not only has she made a plan for me to get to school tomorrow, but she's carrying like 2 plastics from ShopRite. I'm like, how did you do it? And then she's like, no, by faith. And somehow I knew that a plan was going to be made. So because of that, I don't give up until the very last, until 30 minutes before rehearsal. That's when I can be like, okay, guys, I tried. It did not. Yeah. I'm not winning. So that's just the willpower that I was, you know, exposed to, that I absorbed from a very young age from my mother.
Well, we have Kagiso on the line who I believe knows you. Kagiso is calling us from from Soweto. Kagiso, good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for calling, Kagiso. Go ahead.
Yes. Hi, Ofenza.
Yeah, I hear Kagiso perfectly.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes. I'm Kagiso. I used to work with Ofenza at some architectural firm in Greenside. I don't know if she remembers me. But, it's amazing what she's doing. You know, it's amazing what she's doing. And I'm not surprised at all, you know, from you know, where we used to work, it all came through her resilience, mm-hmm. and you know, her strength. You know, she used to go days and days just working at the office. She's a hardworking lady. And yeah, like I said, I'm not surprised at all. Congratulations on the work that you're doing. And on behalf of everyone, you know, bo Prota, bo Linda, you know, I think it's they definitely share the sentiments that I'm sharing right now.
Oh, that's a lovely call, Kagiso. Thank you so much for that. So I Bird also tells me that you're busy with your PhD as well.
Yo, who told my postgrad? Who's this Bird Penelo? Who's this Bird excited?
So I want to know where you get all this time from.
Where do I get all this time? I mean, understanding that if I can get 2 hours out of a day, 2 hours worth of sleep, that is good enough, I guess, during the week. So I try to really do my best to organize my time and prioritize, okay, what can I do in the middle of what? So that if I'm doing, I'm reading something here, then I can be able to at the same time look at this here. So I'm often multitasking. I have even now, 2 laptops open and my sketchbooks, like all of my sketchbooks and all that. So I would say I'm disciplined when it comes to managing my time.
You know, one of the things that I thought was quite remarkable about your journey is you talking about mental health, that you mm-hmm. have decided that there is no way you'll do this without getting assistance from a psychiatrist, a psychologist. And I think you said you see them at least once a week.
I see them bi-weekly. Mm. I used to see her like every week, but then it changed to bi-weekly. But it's very important because for me, mental health is also an investment. Mm. And that's something I had to learn, especially dealing with a very cutthroat industry that, beyond the architecture, then you have, you know, the first young black female conductor title, and you're dealing with a lot of dynamics that are telling you that you can't. Mm-hmm. And then how do you feed into that that thinking and say that, no, but I can. So I constantly have to check in with my, with my therapist, and it's not even one, and then just align myself mm-hmm. spiritually, because I've also come to understand that this journey is really way more than the titles. They're just something really greater than myself mm-hmm. about it. Mm-hmm. So because of that, I understand the importance of aligning myself.
You call yourself deliberately a dreamer. So what is the dream?
A dreamer, given to who will be like, a dreamer is, because you know when you dream, there is no limitation to your dream. Sometimes we dream of floating, sometimes we dream of flying, and I don't think there's someone or anyone who can be like, when I was flying in my dream, I reminded myself to come back to earth. So my sense or concept of dreaming is to say that far beyond the ceiling, far beyond the sky, I always try to touch what is beyond that, you know. If it's the moon, if it's the stars, if it's the atmosphere, that's me. And because also I was never raised to feel like there's a limitation mm-hmm. to my way of thinking or my way of dreaming, or my way of imagining, even before we even get to dreaming. So that is, I'm a dreamer. Like each and every day, or at least once a week, I will put something in my sketchbook or journal that is far beyond my realm.
Fense, you are an absolute inspiration, onwards and upwards. All the best to
Thank you so
and
much.
And really we're looking forward to greatness out of you. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it so much.
Fense Pizzo, who is a conductor, she is an architect, she also calls herself a dreamer. Well, that's it. That's how we end the show today, and we'll be back again on Monday.
Kaya Talk on Kaya 959.
On the street, on the air.